Probably the best well-known verse in the Bible would have to be what? John 3:16. We've got it on the screen. Here it is. I just want to read. I want to start here. Then we're going to go somewhere. And here we go. For God so loved. Let's just stop there for a minute. For God so loved. That's a really important word that we say so quickly. God so loved the world. God loves you. He really loves you. He loves you. He really loves you. So we're going to start again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life or everlasting life. Everybody, you know, you could see from this verse that a person receives eternal life, and eternal life is available to everybody. And a person receives eternal life when they place their trust, their belief, their faith in Jesus Christ. We all know only Jesus can rescue a person from going to hell. Hell is real. And only Jesus can rescue a person from going to hell and give them a place in heaven. You can't save yourself. People at home, you can't save yourself from going to hell. You cannot do enough good things to be considered worthy enough to, in order to enter heaven. Only by trusting in Jesus can you be allowed into heaven and have eternal life. Everybody in this room probably knows that. I'm just reminding you. That was a really important Bible verse. But look at this next verse, Matthew 16:24 to 26. Jesus said this as well. He said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. Wow. And he continues, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? That passage you've got on your screen, in that passage, Jesus is saying that if we want to save our soul, then we must give up living our own way and follow him. Be his disciple. And that verse on the screen is just as important as John 3:16. So from these two verses, it seems, or two passages of scripture, it seems that there are two parts to saving your soul and saving my soul. Those two parts are, they are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we get from John 3:16. And to follow Jesus, which we get from Matthew 24. Everybody understand what I'm saying? The Bible, or in the Bible, John 3:16, where we believe, and Matthew 16:24, where we follow Jesus, automatically go together. You should not separate those passages from each other. The Bible presumes that if you're going to believe in Jesus for the gift of eternal life, then you're going to want to follow him and give up your own ways. This is just a little bit of an introduction before we warm up. Amen. But for us Westerners here today, who's a Westerner? That means everybody needs to put up their hand. For us Westerners, not everybody has the same culture as us, and you know, everybody's blind to their own culture, and we're the same here as Westerners. As Westerners, what we do in our culture is we break everything down to its individual components. We like things in boxes, especially men, more so than women, but we like things in boxes. It's a cultural thing that we do. And we have done this. This is really important that you listen to this. We have done this with the way of salvation. We broke it down to its components, and it's actually not a good thing. So in this instance, to show what I mean, we emphasize believing in Jesus so we can go to heaven.
We're pretty happy with believing in Jesus. Who's not happy with that, you know? We're okay putting up our hand in church and saying the sinner's prayer. It's a great prayer, you know? It's really not that hard to do. It's not hard to believe. And it really actually costs you nothing, really. We're really happy with that part. But then we're not so sure about the second part of salvation. We're not so sure about following Jesus and taking him seriously. Why not? Well, it's obvious why not. That's because we're afraid that Jesus will start messing with our lives and demand some change, God forbid. And we find that uncomfortable at best. We want to be in control of our own lives and do our own thing, but still end up going to heaven. But the truth is, salvation requires us to believe in Jesus Christ, and because we believe in Jesus Christ, we will follow him while we're waiting for heaven. You know, we've got to get this right. Salvation requires us to believe in Jesus Christ, and because we believe in him, we will follow him while we're waiting for heaven. The second truth is this. We all need Jesus to come and mess with our daily lives because he knows what he's doing and we don't. Now, some of you might not know, but our very own Kevin Christensen is a fully trained surf life saver. Wow, wow, wow. Just glad he's not in Speedos, that's all I got to say. You know, if Kevin sees, he patrols the Leighton Beach, and so, you know, it's not season yet, but it will be soon. If Kevin sees someone struggling in the water, he will charge through the surf, and he will rescue that person, because that's what he does. He's a lifesaver. But you know, it's very hard for a surf lifesaver, no matter how well he's trained, it's very hard for a lifesaver to rescue a person who's panicking and thrashing around in the water. Such people who are panicking and thrashing around water are a danger to themselves, and they're actually a danger to the lifesaver too. So if you ever find yourself in need of a surf lifesaver, then you've got to relax. You do exactly what the surf lifesaver tells you to do. Don't have a debate about it and say you know better. No, do what the lifesaver tells you to do. Even if the water's splashing in your mouth and going up your nose and you're afraid, do what the lifesaver tells you to do. You gotta give up your own efforts. You gotta surrender yourself to the training of the surf lifesaver. Otherwise you're gonna be dead. You gotta trust the surf lifesaver because he knows what to do. He understands the rips. He understands the currents. He is equipped and trained for such occasions. If you surrender to the surf lifesaver, he will save you from drowning. Amen. Now, the ocean represents your daily life. Like the water, your life is actually filled with dangerous rips, swirling currents that can take you to places far from safety. Like the water at the beach, your life has stingers. You might have had a few stingers sting you this week. And there's even dangerous predators lurking beneath you. You think you have a handle on life, but you don't. You need the divine surf lifesaver to keep you from destruction. You need the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said this. He said, the thief's purpose is what? Yes. Speaking in tongues again. Amen. You're right. Jesus said the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, but my purpose is to give them, that's you and me, a rich and satisfying life. Amen. That's in addition to eternal life. Jesus has come And part of his purpose is to give us a rich and satisfying life. But Jesus Christ is the only one who can make sense of all the areas of your life and all of the experiences of your life and still bring you to safety and a place of rich blessing. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? You know how we read in that passage. What does it actually mean? What does it actually even look like to surrender your life to Jesus Christ? What did Jesus mean when he said, you must give up your own way and take up your cross and follow me? What did Jesus actually mean? Well, in order to answer these questions, we're going to do our Western thing and we're going to break down our life into as many numerous areas. I might get you to give me a hand, Rochelle. Would you like to come and give me a hand? So, Daniel, yeah, Daniel, you can come and give me a hand. Yeah. Actually, give Daniel a bit of a hand. Yeah, there we go. So we're going to break your life down. Now, what I'd like you to do is just, let's just empty these and just put them on here. Pile them up, make sure they don't fall. But you've got to turn them around so people can see the names. So we've got just a few areas to your life. So this is sin. Maybe this doesn't apply to you. Sin and fears. You know, but that's an area of your life. Yeah. Another one is goals. Some of you would have goals. You're messing me around, man. You're messing me around. Sex is a part of our lives, perhaps. Amen. Regrets. Faith. You know, that's a really big deal. Church is a big deal. You're here for a couple of hours on a Sunday morning. It's very much an area in your life. Your faith is. Hopefully you pray, read your Bible, that sort of thing. Health. That's a big area of your life. We've been praying for chronic health situations today. You know, we need to look after our health. How many people here cleaned their teeth this morning? Just put your hand up. Not everybody put their hands up. That's really disturbing. But why did you clean your teeth? Because you've got to look after your teeth. If you don't look after them, they won't be there in a few years' time. Amen. Look at these ones. Friends. Friends are a part of our life. Very important, friends. Here's another part of our life. Didn't used to be, but it is now. Screen time. How much time do you spend in front of screens? That's a part of your life. What about your education or lack thereof? Education is a part of our lives. Has a huge impact upon our lives. Our family, that includes, you know, our parents, our uncles, our aunts. Who's got a nutty uncle? Put up your hand. Okay, nobody. Okay. You know, family, that's actually really, and that impacts your life either for good or for not so good. What about work or the lack thereof? That's a really, you know, if you've got a job, especially if you're working full time, you know, that's about 7 or 8 hours a day plus travel time. That's actually a big part of your life. And you'll have some workmates, you'll have a boss, all of that. Or maybe you've got your own business. Money, that's a big part of our lives. See that? Who could do with more money? Who's happy and contented with what they've got? Who's good at budgeting? Budgeting is really, really important. I don't want to talk about money much today, but maybe we should need to talk about that another time. Children. Maybe you've got your own children. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you've got grandchildren. You might even have grandchildren in Melbourne. But they're really important. They're an important part of our lives. So important. So important. Oh, by the way, Jared's coming in a couple of weeks' time. So far, he's got the GDG and all of that, and he's got a quarantine for 2 weeks. But he's got, singleness can be a big part of our lives. The greatest human being that's ever walked the earth was single. Just want to say that singleness gets underrated. The greatest apostle of all time was single. Anyway, that's another subject for another day. Don't underrate singleness. We've got ex-partner. Oh, partner and spouse. They're a big part of your life. Hope you can remember their names. That's important. And, you know, if you've been married once or twice or three or four times, I don't know. But ex-partners, you know, they don't go away. They're still part of your life. You've got to work it out. Leisure is a big part of your life. Praise God for leisure. Who's going to do something to do with leisure this afternoon? Okay, nobody. Happy memories are part of your life. I got some photos where I study, and you know, we got some photos of when our kids were young, and I just love to glance at them all the time, and it brings back happy memories. It's important to me. Failures are a big part of your life. Bad memories, I have happy memories, bad memories, man, sometimes I think about those. They could be part of our lives. Success is a part of our lives. Housing, where you live. There's a lot of people I meet who don't have anywhere to live. Housing's a big deal. And who you live with is a big deal. You know, if you've got to be in a shared house, that affects your life, you know. If you're on your own, it's different. But housing's a really big deal in people's lives. And maybe yours. Gains and losses. Life is full of gains. Life is full of losses. It kind of all works itself out, doesn't it? But that's how life is. What's the bottom one? Oh, yeah, addictions. You know, maybe you've got an addiction. And there's all levels of addictions. Food? Yeah, yeah. Chocolate? Coffee? I'm addicted to my wife. There's all sorts of addictions, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And let's be honest about it, addictions can play a huge role in your life. There's some people who manage their addictions and, you know, they've had addictions for years. It actually, see, this represents our lives. And it's actually just a selection of some of the areas that make up your life. Perhaps you would identify with some of them. Perhaps some of them apply to you. Perhaps you could even add a few more. But this is the thing. Since you have chosen to believe in Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, then everybody, it's necessary to surrender all of these areas of your life to Jesus Christ. Remember, we're talking about what does it look like? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Surrender all the areas of your life to Jesus Christ. Every single one of them. That includes all the good areas of your life, and it includes all the dark areas of your life. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock." And this is a message for Christians. He says, "I stand at the door and knock." And that's for us today. And what we need to do is open all the areas of our life to Jesus Christ and surrender it all to Him. That's what Christians do. You know, when a person is being helped by a surf lifesaver, they've got to give up their natural inclination for control. And that's not easy, and it's counterintuitive to their survival instincts, but they've got to suppress those instincts and follow the lifesaver's instructions, because that's their only way back to safety. Similarly, that's what Jesus meant about life when he said, "You must give up your own way and take up your cross and follow me." Why did he mention the cross? It's because the cross was a place of death. So Jesus was saying to us who want to follow him, Jesus was saying that in order to follow him and have real life, then we have to kill the innate desire to be in control of our own lives. You got to put your old nature on the cross. Amen. And by doing that, we submit to his authority, his wisdom, because he is King Jesus. Praise the Lord. We surrender everything to him. And that's a daily thing that we do, because every day when you get up out of bed, we want to be in control again. So we surrender to the Lord again. It's a daily thing. Come on, can somebody say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. This, you know, I could talk about all sorts of things. I could talk about how God just wants to give you a real dream for your life and tell you about how, you know, God wants to bless you. This is the doorway to receiving the blessings of God. This is so important and gets so neglected. So what does the talk of surrendering to Jesus actually look like? So what I'm going to do to flesh that out, I'm going to choose two areas, just two, that's all, from our boxes here, and we're going to use them as examples. So what I want to talk about first of all, I want to talk about sex. I haven't done this for a while. Spoke about sex. So here we go. I want to talk about sex for the next 3 hours. Just joking, just for a moment, just for a moment. Before I do, I just want to say this. It's important that we all understand that Jesus Christ, our Savior, has not come to judge anyone about where they've been or with whom they have been. And neither should we. But Jesus has come to save us from our sins and our own foolishness. Really, really important. So when God created the world about 6,000 years ago, when he created the world, he created Adam and Eve. And when he did that, sex was very much a part of our ancestors' relationship, because if it hadn't been, we wouldn't be here today. Okay, that's deep. Okay, amen. The point of what I want to make, and everybody needs to understand this, is that God invented sex, not the devil. Sex is not dirty. God invented sex, and God called it very good, along with everything else he created. And ladies and gentlemen, sex is still very good. But when sex happens beyond the original boundaries that God created it for, then sex can end up causing so much heartache and so much pain. Families get broken up. People end up losing their friends. People lose their money. People lose their reputation. And people even can lose their health over sex. People get really messed up over sex. And the reason for that is because sex is more than just a biological activity. It also involves a person's soul. It does. So if you have sex with multiple partners outside of God's original context, then you risk damaging your soul. That's what happens. God created sex to be an expression of love and intimacy between a man and a woman who are in covenant with one another. You know the old children's nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty? Remember that nursery rhyme? It kind of captures the damage that sex can do to people. And you remember the nursery rhyme, I got it on the screen. It says this: Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Humpty Dumpty became a scrambled egg. And no one could help him. In the same way, sex in the wrong context will eventually reduce you to a scrambled egg. Because you can't play with fire and not get burnt.
Yeah.
And so no one could help poor old Humpty Dumpty. But that is because Humpty Dumpty had not met Jesus. Because Jesus could have helped Humpty Dumpty, amen? And that's because, listen carefully, Jesus Christ specializes in helping lives that have become... Speak, Lord. His servant is listening. Oh, it's a mobile phone, that's all right. Okay. Jesus helps people whose lives have become scrambled eggs. That applies just about to all of us, doesn't it? Jesus does not come to judge anyone for their sex life. Jesus has come to save us and to take our mess, and he works in our mess. Jesus restores, he cleans, and makes all things new. And Jesus also understands that you may be stuck in a situation or relationship that you can't get out of. It's just not as simple as some people perhaps would suggest that it is. And you know it's not simple. But even in your tough situation, and it might not be quite right, but still, let Jesus into that area of your life. He can help you with your scrambled egg sex life. So, if you are going to follow Jesus, then surrender your sexual past to him. And be honest with Jesus about it, or and repent where you need to. Let the light in. Amen. And Jesus will cleanse you and he will restore you to safety because he's a life saver. He'll give you the wisdom you need to navigate through your complex situation. So we surrender our sexual behavior to Jesus. And then we find out from the Bible what our new sexual behavior should be. And maybe Pastor Bethwyn needs to do some classes on what the Bible teaches about sex in order for us to follow Jesus. Would you like that, everybody?
Yes.
There's this look of horror on the front row right now. I should have pre-warned you I was going to say that. Sorry. I also want to make a comment about sexual identity. I also want to make a comment about sexual orientation. And there's so much I could say this. I think everybody in the room understands that. I want to talk about following Jesus, but I want to say this. I cannot possibly understand what it must be like for someone to feel that their body does not match how they feel about their sexuality. I actually can't understand that. I've never experienced that. And I can't grasp what it must be like to be same-sex attracted. I don't understand that. That's not been part of my experience. I'm also aware that just those two statements that I've just made, I'm also aware that for some people they would consider those two statements to be patronizing and condescending. And that's not my intent at all. But this morning, my intent is to speak to people who want to follow Jesus Christ. That's my intent. And so, if that is you, then I'm simply saying that your sexual identity and your sexual orientation should not be what defines you.
Amen.
You are more than those things. Don't let your sexual identity consume your thinking, because that's very unhealthy and it's spiritually and soulishly dangerous to do. Rather, you would do well to surrender your sexual identity and sexual orientation. We're talking about surrendering every area of our life. You do well to surrender your sexual identity, your sexual orientation, and your sexual past, and all of those sexual encounters. You would do well to surrender them to Jesus Christ. Let it go in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ is your life saver. He's your savior. Let Jesus take your life and redefine who you are. So, God has so much more for you. And with regards to sex, let's take up our cross and follow Jesus. For he knows the best way to a rich and satisfying life. Maybe we can revisit some of those things on another Sunday. So what did Jesus mean about life when he said you must give up your own way and take up your cross and follow me? Let's consider one final example and then I'm done and then we're going to pray. Let's talk about screens. Where's that one? That's over. Was that over here?
Oh, to the right.
Okay, screen time. Here it is. That's such a massive part of our lives. We're all looking at screens. You're looking at screens right now. Hey, everybody, young people are not the only ones using screens. Come on. Most of us are using screens. And so consequently, our eyes and our ears are drawing images and words from those screens into us. From social media through to gaming through to movies, our minds are being boom, 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 bombarded with opinions, values and images, and these words and images are finding their way into our thinking and even into our beliefs, and they're shaping our opinions about life, people, morals and God. In addition, we waste a lot of our time in front of screens instead of spending time in face-to-face conversations. That is so socially unhealthy. I'm sure that you've all visited a Chinese restaurant. Anybody visited a Chinese restaurant before? Yeah, love Chinese food. I'm sure you visited a Chinese restaurant where in the corner on the floor there's a little shrine. Who's seen those? And if you look closely, you'll see the owners have left some food for the deity, whoever it is that they worship. Sometimes I think our TVs are like those little shrines in our homes where we come and worship the gods of the world. Just putting that out there. Nonetheless, screens are here to stay. They're not going to go away. That's just how it is. How many people here have a smartphone with them today? How many people here today's smartphone went off in during this sermon? What you do? They're here to stay, you know. That's how it is. So I'm not suggesting we give up our screens. Please listen, I'm not suggesting that. But I'm saying that as people who want to follow Jesus Christ, let's surrender our screen viewing to Jesus Christ. The psalmist said this, turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word. Turn my eyes from worthless things. But you know, like you, I got to be honest, I like to be entertained. I like to watch a decent movie from time to time. Who's with me? Yes. You know, I do. I'm just being honest. I do. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm finding it increasingly difficult to find any decent movies to watch. TV is boring and unwatchable. There's something disturbing about a society that finds entertainment in shows like The Bachelorette and things like that. I'm getting worked up and I'm really trying hard. I'm not going to get worked up about nothing today, except the Holy Spirit. TV's boring, it's unwatchable. And though, Rochelle, you know, we have access to Netflix. We got that. But there's just not, doesn't seem to be anything on Netflix that you can watch without cringing. I've spent some of my evenings thinking, I'll watch a movie tonight. And after 45 minutes, I still haven't found one. We go to bed. Yeah. I spent my whole night surfing looking for a movie. It's got to be a better way to live our lives. Amen. So we signed up with a Christian streaming service called New Faith. And I get nothing for this. I don't get spotter's fee for this. I'm telling you about it. They've got movies, and there's other Christian streaming services too. They've got movies and TV series of all sorts. That's very entertaining. I found their movies to be valuable, entertaining, and when I put it on, I can relax knowing that I'm not going to hear the F word being said in my home. Yes. On the streets of Gosnells is one thing. In my home is a completely different thing. And, you know, you can watch movies that don't compromise your values. My point is simple. Let's surrender our screens and screen time to Jesus Christ. And there are some wholesome alternatives to Netflix, Fox, and whatever you've got out there. By the way, who's watched The Chosen? That is a must watch. What a great series. Yes. Google it. You know, figure out how to download it. I think it's a crowdfunded series and it's about the life of Jesus. And I've watched the first two seasons. Can't wait for season three. Wholesome. Based on the word of God. There's alternative ways to be entertained with your screens. That's what I'm trying to say. For your own sake, please don't fill your mind with images that contradict your faith and devotion to Jesus Christ. Instead, in the ear of your screens, take up your cross and wisely place behavioral boundaries around your screen viewing because you want to follow Jesus. And Jesus is more important than Facebook, social media, gaming, and movies. We surrender our lives to Him. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give your life up for my sake, you will save it. We can see, and we've already said, that salvation requires that we believe in Jesus Christ. And because we believe, we will follow Him. Therefore, I urge everybody here today and those online at home to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to surrender every area of your life to Him. And if we would all do that,
then the Lord will bless you with a rich and satisfying life and a future welcome into heaven. And I've run out of words, and that's the end of that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand, shall we?